Amen. So Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to kick off this morning. We're going to start reading out of verse 18. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And actually, that's all we're going to read is one verse. That's pretty crazy, right? That one verse we can do a whole sermon on. That's the power of God when he speaks. And so this is what it says. It says, "Then God said, it is not good for man to be alone." Okay? And it says, "I will make a helper who is just right for him." So we see that marriage was not our idea, right? So the sermon title here is called Good Idea. Because I want you to know that marriage was not something that man made. It was something that God made. And I think that the more human we bring into a marriage, the worse it gets. Because God made it from his perspective. And so many times we try to intertwine our idea of marriage into it, and it just goes crazy. And I was thinking about marriage and how God created this idea of marriage and two people coming together and loving each other. And I started thinking about a story about 18 years ago is actually what I was thinking earlier from the other story that I was telling from the other sermon, is that I had bought this truck, and this was like my dream truck. It was a 1998, tells you how old I am, that's my dream truck. A 1998, 3/4 ton, Dodge diesel, little lift kit on it, 35s, and had the half doors that actually opened, so it was a big deal. I was like, okay, this is legit. And I remember having this truck, and I was going to see a friend. I'd gone to see my friend. I was leaving his house. It was pretty late at night, and I was headed back home, and I ran by and got, I was in a hurry to get home, and I swung by the gas station and filled it up, and I'm driving back home, you know, just like everything's perfect. All of a sudden, my truck starts sputtering. I'm like, what is going on with my truck? And I literally get into town at the four-way stop, and I pull into another gas station because it breaks down. And I'm like, what happened? And I was like, oh my gosh. I realized that I put gasoline in a diesel truck. Bad idea, folks. Don't try it. And so my truck quit running because it doesn't run on gas. It runs on diesel. And my point is that so many of us are trying to run our marriages off of something that doesn't allow it to function the way that it was supposed to function. That we are trying to run our marriages and our relationships off of something that God never put in the system for it to function in. And so I just started thinking about that and how God created marriage. So for us to think that we can actually have a marriage and it to be what it's called to be without God in it, it's like trying to put gasoline in a diesel engine and expecting it to run the same way. And I know that none of us intentionally say that. I didn't tell God to get out of my life, right? None of us are doing that. But what are you doing to make sure that you honor God, that he can stay in the marriage, that he can stay in the relationship, right? So here we see that God instituted marriage. It says here, "Then God said, it is not good for man to be alone." So it was God's idea for Adam to not be by himself. Adam did not go to God and say, "God, like, I know that you and I have a really great relationship, but you and I just aren't doing it. Like, I need something different." God came to Adam and said, "It's not good for you to be alone. I think I have something better for you." And so he said, "I've got a bunch of animals I'll bring to you, and you can name them." And he brought them, and he realized that still didn't give him the companionship that he was looking for. You think I'm crazy, right? But that is what happened. He said he brought animals to him, and it says, and he was still in need of companionship. And so God said, "Then I took Adam, and I created Eve out of him." And so, as much as you and I would love for a dog or a cat to really be our companion, they can be a companion to a degree, but they were never called to fulfill the void that God has for you. And so the thing I want to address this morning is that God said it wasn't good for you to be alone. You can be a single person and be God bless you. And there are certain people who choose to do that, and they have the gift and they have the ability to do that. But for most of us, God created us to have a spouse, to have a companion. We were built and created for relationship. We all thrive, every one of us, that married or single, we all thrive best in relationship, right? So regardless of whether you're an introvert, a really, really deep introvert, or an extrovert, or a really crazy extrovert, all of us are made for companionship. You were made for relationship. Now, every relationship in the earth is sustained and is only, its only ability to thrive and survive is through God first. Every relationship, whether it be a friend, is only sustainable. Its quality is only as good as God is in it. So whether you're single or whether you're married, it doesn't matter where you're at in the relationships. Without God in any relationship, relationships never produce what they could produce. God created it that way, right? And so I think why I'm saying that is a lot of times we think, well, if I just get married, I'll get the friends, the problems that I have with my friends will leave because then I'll have my spouse. No, you will carry that same problem that you had with your friends into your marriage, into that relationship, because it's not about the person, it's about you. And the only way that that gets fixed is when God gets invited into the relationship, right? And so, have you know that Hollywood has done a really, really incredible job at lying to us, right? That's what they've done. They've created an idea of what marriage should look like. But if you go through all of it, how many times do you see God involved in any marriage in Hollywood? Right. You always see, you see the I do's and all the Notebook. Right? The Notebook story. You see that as what marriage should be. And we live up to an expectation that's doomed to fail because it's never designed for that. There's a book that Alicia and I have gone through for years called The Sacred Marriage. And the whole context of the marriage is this, is that marriage wasn't created to make you happy. It was created to make you holy. And so when you bring God into a marriage, it creates a holiness in you and a desire to allow God to be the sustainer of the relationship. And so there's this first thought that I want to throw at you this morning is this, is that marriage was instituted by God and it must be sustained by God, right? So God initiates every marriage, it's interesting, people don't even serve God and they don't even necessarily believe in God, but then they come up to an altar and they get married. Why are you getting married if you don't believe in God? Because God instituted the marriage. God created marriage, so why would you honor him by marrying somebody? Why don't you just live together? Do you see what I'm saying? See, God is, it's his idea. It was his whole design for marriage. And so really, you can't have a true marriage without God involved in it. Without God, it is not a marriage. It is just two people cohabitating together, just trying to survive. If you don't have God in your life, you are really just surviving. Because people, even with God, struggle to stay married. Because some of you know, we spell marriage in counseling, when Alicia and I counsel people, W-O-R-K. If you're not willing to roll up your sleeves and go to work, you will regret ever saying I do, right? Because God desires for him to be the centerpiece of the marriage. Everything is drawn and built on him. And so marriage will never be more successful than the value an individual places on it. However, the value of marriage that you put on it determines what you get out of it. So here is one of the main reasons for divorce and disconnections from a relationship is this, is that how me and Alicia, how I put value on a marriage is completely different than how Alicia puts value on a marriage, right? Why is that? Because the way Alicia was raised and how she saw marriage is very different than how I saw marriage. So what we do is we go into a marriage based on the value of how I saw my dad honor women or how I saw my mom honor a man, and I put an expectation on her and I say, this is how you should be as a wife. And so my value could either be down here or way up here that I never can let Alicia get to because I put an expectation on her that God has not put on her. Does this make sense? And so the value that you have on a relationship should come not from your expectations. It should come from these. It should come from what God is asking from me to be able to, how can I be a better husband to her? So my value is not about what I'm expecting her to do for me. It's about what I'm asking God. What is God? God, what do you want from me as a husband to for my wife? And so how we value, see, some of us, it's like, man, I really want to get married. And then once we get married, the value of the marriage begins to disintegrate because there really wasn't an actual marriage. There wasn't any value in the actual marriage. It was like, well, we just need to get to married. We just need to get married and just, you know, that's what everybody does. And so it begins to disintegrate. It begins to dissolve. And before you know it, it's like a year in, you're like, whoa, I didn't know marriage was going to be like this, right? Because that's what happens. See, when an external relationship is given more attention than the inner, marriage becomes focused on pleasure. See, what happens is when you get married, right, you're serving God, you guys love each other, I do, and God is here. And then when you say, I do, you grab hands, and you walk off the stage, and you leave God on the platform. And then you begin to focus in on this relationship, and you put so much energy on this one. God, I got to please her. I got to make him happy. I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this. And we put so much value on the external relationship of the marriage, and we wonder why it begins to become about pleasure and what you can do for me and what I could do for you. And it becomes about that game, and there's a point where she can't give me what I need because it's only supposed to come from him. And so we begin to put all of these expectations on from God onto your spouse without even realizing it. Because you put in so much energy on the external side of the relationship. What are they going to do for me? I will only love you contingent on if you will do what I've asked you to do for me. Right? But so when that happens, marriage begins to break down and it becomes about you and not us. Right? Because if you read in your vows, right? This is how crazy it is. This is just coming to me right now. But if you read it, think about when you vows. You give vows. It's all about what you're willing to do for the other person. Right? I will. I vow to, hence the vow word. I vow to blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And then the person says, and I vow to. And it's like this exchange of, oh, I vow to. No, I vow. And it's like this war of like what I'm going to do for you. Right? But what happens when you leave, do we forget about the vows? The vow wasn't said, it wasn't said, well, I expect you to. I expect you to. I expect you to. We left that in our pocket in the back so that when we got at the honeymoon, we could hand it to him then. Right? The vows are what you're vowing to do for them. How crazy would that be for you to come to the altar and say, I expect you to, I expect you to. You're going to be standing there by yourself, buddy. Because she's going to be like, deuce, I'm gone. Because no one, but I think that that is the reality that I wish what we would do is be real with each other and say, look, these are some expectations I have, but because of those expectations, I vow to do this. See, he said it's not good for you to be alone. He has somebody for you. See, Eve wasn't given because Adam was broken. I want you to know that marriage isn't about me needing another person because I'm broken. It wasn't about that. It was about companionship. Adam didn't say, man, Eve, I'm really messed up and I really need your help, so will you be my wife? Adam was he was totally fine with who he was. But God said, I feel like you need a companion. Like the dog that you've been running around with, Adam, it's just not going to work. Like you need to let the dog go and you need to join with your wife. And in that, that's where marriage began. It's so quiet in here. Whew, making me nervous. And then he goes on and it says this, I will make a helper who is just right for you. I want to hit on this, helper. See, a spouse is the support system to your purpose. Every one of you have a purpose. And when Alicia and I got married, we knew I am marrying you for the sole purpose that I'm going to help you fulfill your purpose. There have been times where both of us said, look, I will lay down my side of the ministry to make sure that yours succeeds. We have both said that in two different times in our lives, in our marriage, because we wanted each other to know that, look, I'm not going to pastor a church and let my marriage fall. I will let the church go for you. And I will not cling so much to my purpose that you don't get to fulfill yours. See, a helper. Do you see your spouse? Do you see the person that you're engaged to, the person that you're dating as the person that actually desires to help you? Right? See, it says this in Ecclesiastes 4:9. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Marriage is about not your success, but about your success. If I succeed and I have a huge church, which would be for me, consider what we would consider success in today's society, but my wife and my daughter don't want anything to do with me, did I succeed? If you get $100 million in your 401k and your wife and your kids don't want anything to do with you, did you succeed? So succeed it depends on what success to you. For us as a married couple, all across the board, as you and I talk about marriage, success in marriage should be you and your spouse thriving, serving Jesus for the rest of your lives. That is success. Kingdom success is you and your spouse thriving and surviving and living life for Christ. Now, I know that when you got married and all of that, you didn't think it would be that. I mean, you didn't think you'd go through some of the stuff you had to go through and struggle with some of the stuff you had to go through. You didn't think that, wow, I thought you were supposed to help me, right? See, as much influence as a helpmate has to help, they have the ability to hurt. Why? Because this is the power of marriage. If marriage can't hurt you, you're not married. If your spouse doesn't have the ability to hurt you, then it's not what it should be. Because the Bible says that they were naked and not ashamed. They were as vulnerable as they could possibly be with each other. But at the same rate, as much as they were vulnerable, right? They had as much as they could help each other, they could hurt each other. Dustin McKenzie, come up here for a second. Rocking the Chiefs. All right, come on up, man. I want to do something for you. Hold her hand, bro. What's wrong with you? There you go. All right. I'm kidding. Kenzie, okay, stop. Let me hold your hand.
Hey, buddy.
Okay, so right here. Stop right there. All right. I had to do that last time because Jessica was going all over the place. All right, bro. So I need you to stand right here. Yeah, there you go. You saw him. Good boy. All right. So how many of you know that they're married? They're almost in a year. Not quite. Come on. Give them a hand. I've seen some dark nights. I'm just kidding. They're just living in love right now. It's awesome. Everything's honeymoon. And how many of you know that they got married? They're helpmates. But what happens is in a marriage is that this is the point of marriage. This is the ability. This is the power of marriage. Is that when you choose to not be the helpmate that God's called you to be, this is what happens. That problems come in marriage, right? Sometimes they're big problems. And don't hurt me, Dustin. And no matter what, as long as Dustin continues to stay out of the picture and let her fight her own fights, little problems, big problems, purple problems. That one worked too good. There we go. All right, cool. Pink problems. We got all kinds of colored problems, right? Because in marriage, we have problems. Don't look. But so, help me pick that up, buddy. But see, this is the power of when you have a helpmate. See, this is the power of marriage. If you would back up to her, back to back. See, this is what happens when you have a helpmate, that no matter what problem I'm trying to get at McKenzie, that boy caught that sucker. He said, touch my wife, try to get it over his head, no. Try to get it beside without looking, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what I try to do to get her, well, not looking, oh, that I can't get to her because she has a helpmate. And this is the power of what God gave us. God gave us someone to help us. The problem is sometimes, Dustin, go ahead and turn around. No, over here, buddy. Come back up here. He's confused. Sorry. But sometimes, Dustin, go ahead. To do everything you've ever wanted. That's good. All right, I want you guys to stay married. Thank you. And so this is the thing. Thank you, guys. You're good, Mackenzie. Good job. Give him a hand. Hold her hand. Well, she bailed on you, bro. Threw that ball at her too hard. She's like, we have a talk. But this is the point, is that as much as he stood back to back with her and he helped her, moving out of the way and then chunking the ball at her, he hurt her because she trusted him. See, this is the power of marriage, is that marriage doesn't fix what's broken. Marriage doesn't necessarily fix the problems that you have. But when you have a helpmate, they're created to help fight the war with you. They're called to run and fight alongside of you so that you can work through the struggles that you're going through. You know, marriage, ultimately, there are things that we do. We get married and we think, oh, my insecurities are going to go away now. My jealousy is going to go away now. My problems are going to go away now. The problem is this, is that insecurities and problems don't go away because you get married. They ultimately get highlighted. The problems that you have before you go into a marriage, they get highlighted once you say, I do. Because you let your guard down because you know that you're safe to be you. And so God gave us this helpmate to help us see what we wouldn't see. To help us grow in areas that we wouldn't have normally grown through. I always think personally that I didn't have a tone, but at 29, apparently it just popped up when I got married. And Alicia helped me to maybe discover a tone that I got that year. Now, we could say I got a tone when I was 29 when I got married, or we could say I was born with a tone and it took marriage to expose it. Right? Don't laugh at me. You all got problems too. I know your attitudes. I know your sarcasm. I know. But see, I didn't know that I had a tone issue until I said, I do. And even in the honeymoon, I think she was still a little sweet about it. She was like, oh, you didn't mean to say that, did you? Yeah, I did. Okay. And so my helpmate, as much as you and I don't want to admit, has a responsibility to call our junk out. And we have an opportunity to say, you know what? You're right. And man, I fought this tone thing for a while. But look, I finally cashed in and said, you're right. Okay, I've got a tone. And now I have a responsibility with that. I can continue to use that as a handicap. Say, well, you're just going to have to deal with me, that you married me this way. Or I have an opportunity to say, you're actually willing to help me. So now whenever I have certain things come up, help me realize it and grow through it. That is what a helpmate does. A helpmate isn't there just to highlight your problems. They're there to help you walk through your problems, to walk through your weaknesses, to walk through these things. See, there are things that you will go through because of a helpmate. There are things that if you had not married them, you would have never gone through, like the loss of a family member. Their parents get divorced. Guess what? You have to go through that with them. There are things that you have to go through. When you say I do, and that helpmate becomes your helpmate, there are things that you have to go through because of them. But on the flip side of that same coin, there are things that you will only get through. You hear what I said? Only get through because of them. There are things in your life that if you had not had your helpmate, you would have never gotten through that storm that you were in. Because that person was put on assignment to help you get through whatever you were struggling in. And so God puts somebody alongside of you to help you get through stuff. But at the same time, there is sometimes you just have to go through things because you're married to them. You married a lot of people when you married your husband. You married a lot of people when you married your wife. I know you thought you were just saying I do to them, but you said I do to everybody in their family. So the drama that they carry, yep, you get to deal with it. The success that the family has, you get to be a part of it. It goes two ways, right? We don't talk much about that in marriage counseling, do we? You know, like when you get married, it's not just you and your husband. It's his daddy and his mama and your daddy and your mama. And they're both crazy. So good luck. Right? Sorry, I see some in-laws up here. Forgive me. See, a helpmate will help you grow, right? Because no one can get you to that place, if you know what I'm talking about, married folks, right? No one can get you, no one can push the trigger like your spouse. Y'all are so quiet about that one. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, that place is like whenever I say certain things to Alicia and I'm not having to dodge vases. I'm like, whoa, I'm just kidding. But right, no one can get you to that place like your spouse can. No one can. Why? Because there's this power of vulnerability. There's this power in that. But there is something about, there's no one that can help you get to your purpose like your spouse. And this is the power of marriage. As much as marriage can hurt and can be tough and have to be rolling up your sleeves and sometimes you got to work 5 days at about, and then you're like 2-3 weeks in, you're 2-3 months in, you're like, gosh, God, like, I don't understand. It's in those things that you grow. My marriage with Alicia is not because of all the honeymoon stuff. I hate to break it to you. But mine and Alicia's marriage is incredibly healthy because of what we were willing to go through in the darkest times in our marriage. So many of us want out when we can grow the most. Some of us we want out when it gets the most difficult, but I know Alicia more because of the problems and the struggles we've gone through. I've been able to see the emotional toll on her in certain things, and I see, wow, that really touches her. And it's only in those types of seasons that I get to see that. There are only certain areas in my life that she gets to see me for the deep parts of who I am. There's no one else that will ever get to see me like Alicia's gotten to see me. There's no one else that'll see Alicia like I've seen her. And that's the beauty of marriage, is that God allows you to see a veil into somebody's soul and to see the beauty of a creation. When God created her, okay, now I see the amazingness of when he was creating her, what he thought about. And you get to see the beauty of who God created them to be. Just right. Some of us would say, just wrong. Like, God, you totally missed it. That is not just right. That is Mr. Wrong now. I mean, I know I said I did when he was everything I thought he was, but he's nothing that I, yeah. It is the struggle, right? Just right. But see, when you understand that just right maybe does have flaws, that Mr. Right does have a tone, and he's working through it. He's doing everything he can. Right? See, your spouse is given to compliment you, not complete you. And anytime you put a responsibility on your spouse to complete you, you've set them up for failure. Because all they are is supposed to be someone that makes you look better than you really are. That's what your spouse is. Your spouse is the person that's been put in your life to make you look better than you really are. Alicia makes me look better than I am. Go to Instagram. Follow her on Instagram and you're going to think I am the man. But it's like right after that Instagram, she's like, you know, it's like, whoa. I mean, sorry I didn't pose right. Right? This is the reality. We have an Instagram life. We have an Instagram marriage and everything looks great. And everything looks perfect. You've been able to filter it all. You've been able to type in the right words. That's not how marriage is. And this is the problem. Most of you could look at mine and Alicia's Instagram and say, man, they've got it all together. They're pastors. They serve God. They don't have any problems. You're 100% wrong. because Alicia and I have been in disagreements. We've been in arguments. I mean, you know, we're pretty chill, low-key people. I mean, we may be strong-willed, maybe a little bit. We have our own way, and we, you know. But, you know, but this is the deal, is that, look, we all have things in our lives. And, look, I'm not here to complete Alicia. That's God's job. Your spouse is not married to you to make you fixed. And we are putting a responsibility on our spouses that we should be putting on God. God, why are they not fixing me? Why do I still have all of this stuff going on in my life? It's because you've put an expectation on your spouse that it's God's. They're just simply there to complement who you are and to help you see the God in you. Alicia has helped me see my potential. She really has. She has been able to see the things in me, and in that, she's been able to shine the diamond that was rough-edged, that other people would have thrown away, but she saw it and she said, look, I think this can be an incredible set. I think this can be something of value. This is what our spouses should be. Look, I know maybe you're not there yet, so don't throw your marriage away just because you're just not there yet. You're never going to get there. I always tell people in marriage counseling, you ever seen that couple sitting on the park bench out in the park, looking in each other's eyes at 75 or 80? And say, that's the kind of marriage I want. Why don't you go up to talk to them next time and ask them how they got there? Because they didn't get there because it was just a soulmate and it just worked. Every great marriage is great because of great sacrifice. Never forget that. Every marriage is great because of great sacrifice. Because of people willing to give up themselves for the other. And I can preach that way better up here sometimes than I can live it. Because I like to be selfish sometimes. And if you don't, you should be up here. Because we all got a little flesh in us. Right? I was telling some people, I think that what I'm going to do next time in every wedding that I do is I'm going to hand them a little paper and it says, some assembly required. Right after I say I do and I say, that's power in me vested in me, I'm going to hand them a paper. And it says, requires work. Assembly required. Because I think that's what we do. We think, oh, we're fixed. Happily ever after. How deceived have we become? It's not happily ever after. It's work is required. Assembly is required. It takes work to have a great marriage. You know that Northwest Arkansas is the leading state in divorce. Northwest Arkansas, per capita, for the amount of people, we are the leading. I mean, that's not something you want to lead in. Okay? But it's the leading cause of divorce. We are the leading nation in divorce, or state in divorce. But I believe that that's because we have a great assignment on our lives. I believe that as a region, we have a great assignment for whatever God desires to do, whatever he's looking to do, he's looking to do it through us as couples. We have to fight for our marriages. We have to contend for those things that it's difficult and it's tough, that you have to fight for it. Look, your marriage didn't come with add-ons. I know you like to go to the joint, the burger joint, and I'd like to add some bacon and that. Marriage, you don't get to add on. Who you married is who you married. And that can be a temptation, is to try to make somebody something that they're not. Well, if you would just do this and you would do that. I was with my mentor. He counsels me once a month. Because I have a tone. And I was talking to him about just marriage and going into this series. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, I don't know if you know this or not, which I don't, because he's like amazingly smart. And he said, you know that when a person is dating and they're in, you know, in the dating scene, engagement, he said there's a drug actually that's released in their body called dopamine. He said it's the same as cocaine. And he said, if you've noticed, couples that are dating each other, they are actually being driven by this drug. And so everything in the world looks perfect. Because that's what it does, is it makes them numb to the reality around them. I thought, how profound is that? That God uses dopamine to get people married. You know? He's like, he knew what he was doing. He's like, I'll drug them until they say I do, and then I'll, reality! You know? It's awesome. But that's why when you're dating, you can get your leg amputated and the other person's face melted, and it's like, oh, I still love you. You're awesome. Come on. We'll still do life together. Right? Because everything is perfect when you're dating. Everything's perfect when you're getting engaged. And then once you say, I do, it's like the dopamine begins to wear off. And reality sets in. It's this, dude, this person's breath was not that bad, I swear, when we were dating. But now it's stanky. Hey, have you signed up for that doctor's appointment yet for the dentist? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I put you in. You know what I mean? Because the dopamine wears off. Yeah, and their breath stinks. You didn't know they snored like that. And you didn't care. They could snore as loud as they wanted. I would lay next to them and rub their chest. Whisper night. Little night fairy tales to them. But see, this is the power of dopamine. And I think that what happens is that we can so easily get caught up in, you know, just these fantasies. And the reality is that, man, God made marriage, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. But it does require work. It does require you to maybe not care so much about you and to care more about them. And so I believe that God is going to heal some marriages over the next 3 or 4 weeks. If you haven't signed up for our marriage conference, I would strongly encourage you to do that. It'll be incredible. If you're dating and married, I mean, if you're engaged and wanting to, or married, if you're wanting to be married, I would encourage you to do that. I think that any kind of wisdom and insight that you can get from other people always takes your marriage to another level. Amen. If you would, you can stand with me this morning as we close. I want to say this to you as we close. If you're married, and I want to make sure that I say this, if you're married, all the resources needed are in your spouse. All the resources that you need to be what God has called you to be are in your spouse. You may not realize it, but you know what? You may have to till the ground and sow and plant before you see it. And guess what? You can never have a harvest without water. But a lot of us, we expect to throw a seed into our spouse and a little bit of encouragement or a little bit of whatever, but it's for our own well-being. But see, water, when you put water to something, that's where it begins to grow. And what I'm saying is this, is I think that there are things in our spouses, but until we water it, we never see the seeds that are in them. We never see the potential that's in them. You could be married 10, 15, 25 years. There are still things in your spouse that you have not yet to see. There are things in them that you have still not opened up and been able to see. If your spouse is here, I want to ask you to grab hands with them, and I want to pray over you this morning. And I pray that God will ignite this new fresh passion. Maybe we just pray for dopamine. Hit us, Lord. I'm kidding. Man, wouldn't that just be easy? But see, then it would just be easy. It would just be no work. But sometimes we need to put a little sweat equity into our relationships. We have to spend a little money. Just a side note, you know that after Valentine's, it's one of the leading months for filing divorce. Because people, their husbands or their wives, give them one last chance. If they fail at Valentine's, it's over. True. Dude, get them roses, dude. Do something. Chocolate. Ask her, what do you love, baby? Like, call her sister. Do what you got to do, man. Right? I think that your spouse is worth the investment. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for every life here, God. We thank you for every marriage, God. We thank you for every relationship. God, those that are single, God, I pray that you would help them be so focused on you, God, so committed to you, God, that as they find their spouse, God, that they are already satisfied in who they are, God, that they wouldn't compromise, God, because of thinking that somebody else can fix them, can give them something that you can't. God, I pray for every marriage, God, wherever they are, whatever the state of the relationship is in, God, whether it's healthy, whether it's broken, whether it looks like it's unrepairable, God, I thank you that you are a God of restoration. You are a God of hope. You are a God of purpose. So, Lord, I thank you this morning, God, as you touch people's hearts, you heal marriages, God. We love you this morning. God, we thank you for allowing us to have conversations that are meaningful, that are intentional. That are vulnerable. God, let us be okay to be hurt. Because it's in our vulnerability to be hurt that you heal us. Help every one of us, Lord, be better lovers to our spouse. This morning, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, and you say, I want to commit my life to Christ. I want to give my heart to him. I want to join this relationship with Jesus. If you would, just raise your hand real quick and you'd say, I want to commit my life to Christ. Thank you for that hand. It's awesome. Awesome. Anybody else this morning? I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me. If you would just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died on the cross for those sins. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. God, I ask you to reveal the destiny you have for my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we give them a hand?